Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Check them out. They appreciate it. How are you? September the 7th, 2021, the day after the Labor Day weekend. Hope everybody had a nice, safe, carefree weekend. Enjoyable. Caught up on... Got all of your R&R in, and you're ready to take on the fall, right? Back to work. I'm back to work. I did take the weekend off. Actually, I didn't. What the fuck am I even saying? I did not take the weekend off. I worked Saturday, half a day. And then Sunday, we did finally go to the beach, which was a first because we had not been to the beach all year, which is a little bit of a bummer because we're big beach people. We're those folks that we go down at like 9 and leave at 11, right? Just get a couple hours because we live here, so we don't have to worry about getting it all in. So we just go down. Like yesterday, we were down. No, I guess Sunday, and then we left around 11, and. Bunch of people outside doing some sort of tour of the building. We left at 11 and everybody was pouring in. So we got there at the right time, got a little sunshine, enjoyed the warm day, and then got out of there and let the visitors have the beach for the rest of the day. It was fine. We got a little sunshine. It was great. I love the beach. I've just, it's been a rough summer. I don't know why. Just the people, but whatever. So it is the end of summer. I hope everyone had a great summer. I hope everyone had a great Labor Day weekend. I know for me, Labor Day weekend was a big party weekend. And, I hope everyone, came out unscathed. I know if I had been drinking, I would have not come out unscathed. I would have gotten scathed. Something would have happened, like usual. So... just very, very grateful. I'm sober today, not drinking, and made it through another holiday without fucking up something. And I'm so super blessed. I think I shared the other day about Anthony. I've been watching a lot of Anthony Bourdain and just analyzing that guy. I don't know why. I'm a little obsessive over how much he fucking drinks. And he said I was watching an episode the other day, and he goes, and he said this in the show. He goes, I'm not an alcoholic. He goes, I'm not an alcoholic. I just drink for the show. At home, when we're not filming, I have no alcohol in my fridge at all. And I thought, that was interesting to say, right? But then, of course, I'm completely taking his freaking drinking inventory, watching how many drinks. I'm like, how could he be this drunk and not be, like, laying on the floor? Or this consume this much alcohol and not be on the floor if he's not a fucking alcoholic? So whatever, I don't know, but in this time of watching him, he goes, I don't know where he was at, I think Brazil, I don't know, but they make this, it looked like a mojito or something where they're smashing fruit and mint leaves, and I'm like, I could maybe have that. That looks fucking good. Maybe if I just stick to those. And I'm watching Anthony Bourdain, he's putting them down, I think at one point he orders four. So he's drinking one, he has three lined up. I'm like, maybe that's a ticket. Maybe I just drink and stick to whatever those things are that Anthony's drinking, and maybe I can drink. No. I know I can't. And you know, when I have this kind of thinking in my head, the reality also is that I don't even want to, I don't want to feel yucky. Like, even if I could, I've said before, I'm super grateful that I'm a total drunk, because I don't want to be the guy that can have like three and stop, just enough to fucking get you in trouble. Just enough to get like a DUI or just enough to get in a fight, but not have a real problem. Because when it was time to pay the piper in my drinking career, it was black and white. I either had a drinking problem or I didn't. And the way that I drank and behaved, I clearly had a drinking problem. There was no confusion. So, I'm just grateful, that I can come out of this past weekend and, get up in the morning and feel fresh and clean and not, dragging around a bunch of garbage and, thoughts and memories of the weekend, bad behavior. So yesterday was Monday. I went to the meeting, and it was on step 11. And this is a fucking great step. I mean, seriously. It says, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. All right, I got to read that again, because that is, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us, the knowledge of his will for us, and the power to carry that out. I'm a big, and this is a trippy, this is, these are weird, this can be a weird step for people because it's prayer, right? So this is doing the one thing that is so hard to do, which is pray. I've shared before that I did not pray rightly in the past. I was a self-centered prayer. I only prayed for things that worked for me, that have benefited me. I've always said I love a scenario where I can privately request things and they should come, as in Santa, Easter bunnies, whatever it is, whatever this weird scenario we've created in our lives that allows us to wish for something and it comes true, I've always a big fan of that. I love the idea. Santa and Jesus were, neck and neck. Except the problem with Jesus is a lot of the stuff that I asked for never showed up. So that makes Santa a little bit better. Because the stuff I asked for from Santa always showed up. It's almost like Santa was a Satan. Santa, Satan. Jesus, God. Not Satan. But it's always been, that's how I pray. What can I get? How can I fix this? Get me out of this. Da-di-da-di-da, da-di-di-di-di. And I love this part. And this is going to be a tough... I can just share how I feel. This is a tough step. This is... A lot of work has had to have happened in your life for this step to really be of value to you, I think. And I don't just mean going through the steps. It almost seems like you need to do the time. Like there has to be time, sober time, good and bad times in sobriety, real testy moments in sobriety that I feel like I had to go through to get to a point where I personally want to pray and turn things over and find help through spirituality. It's a, for the right reasons, I guess I should say. I don't have many prayers. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for keeping me another day sober. Watch over us tonight as we sleep. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. That's my prayer before bed. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for keeping me another day sober. Watch over us tonight as we sleep. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. That's it. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for keeping me another day sober. Watch over us tonight. I guess that's a request, I suppose. If you don't have anything else going on, maybe you could watch over us. Watch over us tonight as we sleep. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's my before I go to sleep bed, or before I go to sleep prayer. And then I have another prayer which goes, Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. And that is not a prayer. That is not asking for anything. That is a recognizing prayer. I'm recognizing I am struggling. I'm having a tough time. I'm recognizing it, and I'm saying it out loud. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. That means I can't handle it. I'm not cut out for this big issue. I need help. And this is a prayer that I use with my children. When my children have anxiety issues, whether it's school, you know, soccer camp, horse camp, you know, whatever it is in life, whatever they're going to do that creates insecurity and fear, this is the prayer I use. You know, my son Sam came to me the other day. He says, I got anxiety about school. He has anxiety about school every year. Every year he worried about school. And, you know, this year is no different. And he says, I have anxiety about school. And this is after years and years of working on this, because this is nothing new. So this is what we do now. He has a tool that he uses, which is this prayer. But when he comes to me, he says, I'm having anxiety about school. And the first thing I say is, have you prayed about it? And he says, I haven't, or I have prayed about it. And then I say, well, why don't we pray about it? There's nothing more weird or embarrassing than praying out loud in front of your father. Right? He hasn't gone through all this. These are just suggestions I give him. Suggestions that are given to us freely sometimes we don't care about those. It's the ones that you have to kind of grind through to get through on the other side that you know, that's where I've gotten to a point where I use this as a tool. I'm pushing it on my kids to try to create habits. But like I said, there's nothing worse and more weird than saying a prayer out loud to Jesus in front of your father. It's embarrassing and it's weird and you feel goofy. And it's a reminder that we are not fucking superior. Right? Just saying out loud, hey, God. You know, you're not writing it down. You're not texting it to God. You're saying it out loud in front of another person. It's a little bit embarrassing, and self wants nothing to do with this. Self wants nothing to do with this prayer. Self's like, hey, you gonna start praying? I'm leaving. Yep, I hear it. I'm out. Bye. Self leaves. Self-centered thoughts. Selfishness. What do I want? What makes me look good? What makes me feel better? What is it about me, 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 me? As soon as you start praying out loud to a higher power, self leaves. This is a battle between self and humility. This is the battle. It started, I think this started from the day we were created, and it'll be an issue for our whole life. The battle between self and humility. If you live a life of self, and as a child, why wouldn't you, right? That's all you know. It's me. I mean, that's what we've been... You know, you come out of your mother's, you know, womb screaming, me. You know, it sounds like crying, but you're really saying, me, me, me. Hey, I'm cold. I'm hungry. My stomach hurts. I I'm dirty or whatever. Me, me, me. It's a life of self. But as you start to get older, you can't live that way. You can, but your life will become unmanageable to everybody else. Don't even bring alcohol into it. Let's say you don't do drugs or drink, but you're just a person of self, right? You just, you know, you're spoiled. Everybody caters to you. You are fucking rotten. You know, your life, you know, if you live within a circle of people that treat you and spoil you to that sort of level, right? That whenever you come out of your circle and you deal with people that aren't used to your bullshit, your life gets real unmanageable to them very quickly. You know, that's why we're usually left with our family, because our family, unfortunately, a lot of times our family creates a shit, spoiling our children, giving them everything they want, not having repercussions. Yeah, you end up with spoiled, rotten kids. And they become very unmanageable to everybody else. Throw alcohol, drugs on top of it, fucking total mess. So to pray, you know, to understand, you know, and I think that's what, I'll never forget when someone told me that when I had to do the fifth step, I had to share this, all this information with somebody out loud with another human. I didn't really understand the point. I'm like, what's the point, right? I'm gathering data. I've gathered the information. I've got it all here. I'm just going to, why can't I just call somebody or text it or type it? I didn't understand the shame and embarrassment and fear and anxiety that comes along with sharing your deepest, darkest secrets with somebody in person. Didn't understand it. Didn't get the power. And when I was starting to understand how important that was and start to understand that that power of humility, it started to all kind of, I started to understand all of it. At least a little better. It's all about self-centered and humility. I haven't had a drink in December. I'll celebrate 13 years. I haven't had a drink or drug in 13, almost 13 years. And I'm still suffering from self-centeredness. I'm still self-centered. I still am a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. They don't make humility pills. They don't make humility supplements. How do you get humility? I like to think of doing, when it comes for me as far as humility, is doing the exact opposite of what I would probably do. You know, if someone is, let's say you're driving down the road and you see someone on the side of the road on a bicycle standing there by their bike. Okay, and you're driving up. And you maybe think, hey, do I want to stop and ask this person if they need some help? Okay, that's the question. That's the task at hand. Asking a person if they have a problem and if they need help. So, you know, here's a list of things. So if you stop and if you ask and if they do, this is a list of things that may come from that. One, you're going to have to stop doing what you're doing to help somebody. So you're going to be either, you might be inconvenienced, right? They may take you up on it. Oh my God, thank you for stopping. I appreciate it. You know, I'll take the help. So right away, now your day has changed because you're going to be doing something they need and obviously the opposite of what you were doing, which was what you need. Is self going to be okay with that? Some days self's okay. I guess we'll take the time. God damn, what'd you stop for? Shit. You know? But you stop, and they take you up on it. And then you start having to figure out, are all these things going to be, are they going to be working for self, or are they going to be working for humility? Self decides. I ain't got a lot going on today. Let's stop and see if they need help. Or I got too much going on today. I'm not stopping. So self is the king. But then humility is like, anytime somebody is pulled over or broken down on the side of the road, you should stop. You know, if there's, I don't know what the if it's a law or a rule, but any time a boat is in distress, you are obligated to immediately head in that direction and help them. No matter what you're doing, right? Convenience, inconvenience, you are supposed to, if there is an SOS or distress and you're in the area, you are to immediately head towards that boat. How come we don't have that rule on the planet? I mean, out of water. If somebody is help in distress, we should just help them. I guess since the water, I mean, if you're, you know, SOS and you're potentially going to drown and die, I guess. Maybe we think if you live on land, you can survive a little longer. Maybe we don't need to be as helpful. But you know, it's about helping. and doing the opposite. I mean, it's easy to be like, you know, I remember when I was sitting in traffic and this guy got rear-ended right next to me. Boom! And I'm like, well, that's going to, first thing I thought was that's going to make a traffic jam, and then drove off. I was like, shit, I'm headed to work. I forget what I was doing, but I ain't got time to stop and give a report and all this. I was busy. So I was like, no. And that's the problem for me in life today is this battle between self and humility. And I remember when I started to understand the power of prayer. And like this step says, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out, which means to me, don't ask for anything. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. Just recognizing that I can't take it. And I'm going to tell you, if I can, a little secret. This shit works. It works. Anxiety is self not getting its way. Anxiety is self falling short. These are for me. You know, when I'm having anxiety or paranoia, that's usually about something I need to work on. So if I'm worried about, you know, I'm not going to get a job or I'm not going to get this, it's usually probably because I haven't done the work. You know, if I have fear about not accomplishing something because deep inside I know that I did not fucking do the work. And that's probably how it is for everything for me. That's usually the case. You know, but understanding that I can stop at any time and just recognize, and that's how what I tell my kids. I said, listen, let's try it. And it works. Amazingly enough, it works. And I think, I hope that, you know, creating these, you know, these moments of prayer. I mean, there was a time that I did not use prayer to help with anything. And I shared this time that I was involved in that business opportunity. Was that person that went rogue, and I was completely out of my hands, and I was just watching this thing go over a cliff. And I was powerless, and there was nothing I can do, and I wanted to do something very bad to this person. Like, really, like, fucking kill him. You know, that's because self was absolutely not getting what self was wanting, which was, and I had to go back and take a look at my whole reasoning for being involved in this fucking project, and it was because I wanted, it was an easy money. It was a money grab. If it had worked, I'd have made a lot of money on it. But like my dad always said, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is, and it was. This person went rogue, and I was helpless and powerless, and I had no options. Either sit in this self-centered, stewing mess, or start to pray. And start to recognize I've made mistakes, understand my part, because there was a real point in there where I was like, I can't believe this person has done this to us. And I had to take a hard, 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 honest look at it. And the fact was I got involved with something because I wanted to make easy money. It was too good to be true. But I went for it. So you can, you know, I could have been like, this person is complete. I'm a victim of a crazy person. And this is, you know, I can't believe this happened to me, and I'm going to be a big victim. Or I can say, hey, you asshole, you know exactly what you were doing. This was just trying to make quick money. It didn't work. Your father warned you about stuff like this, and you did it anyway. Recognize your role. Recognize your part. Turn it over and pray about it. And there was a point, I remember I was in my car driving, so I must have been coming to work or something, and I was so incensed, but I was so powerless. You know, there was nothing I could do, but it was such a big issue. It was just insane. And I remember I said, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I am turning this over to you. Just recognize, amen, I am not cut out for this. I am not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not humble enough to handle this. So I'm just going to say it out loud. I'm recognizing it. I'm turning it over to you. And you do with it what you will. And it would bring me some relief. It would cut that shit in half. And so that's why I would do it with my kids. First thing is, did you pray about it? Say it out loud in front of me. Feel embarrassed. Feel weird. You know, this, all of this, you know, and I feel like I've said this before, but all of this really is a fucking inconvenience, really. You know, prayer, going to church, going to meetings, you know, having conversations. It's all an inconvenience. That's what this is about. Meetings are an inconvenience. I've said it before. If going to a meeting is better than what you were doing prior to going to the meeting, you just went to a social event. It should be an inconvenience. It should be, you know, like last night, I went to the meeting. It was an inconvenience. I didn't really want to go. You know, I had a great day with my family, having dinner. I didn't feel like going to a meeting. You know, I wanted to stay home. I wanted to reap the rewards from being sober. And I couldn't. I had to go. And that's what this is about. That's what church is about. That's what prayer is about. That's what all of this is about. This isn't about I'm better. You know, I feel this is awesome. Let's pray. No, it's an inconvenience. It's, you know, it's that moment where we're like, listen, shit's not as good as I thought it was. I need to pray about it. You know, church is about an inconvenience. It's always been a battle between self and humility. If I have to go to a church and pray, that's an inconvenience. If I have to dress up, that's a more of an inconvenience. If I have to go at a certain time, which is usually pretty early, that's more of an inconvenience. All of this sucks. I would rather stay home wearing my regular clothes, doing my regular thing, but no, I've got to interrupt my day to go to church. To recognize that there is something greater than I am. And that's what prayer is. It's an inconvenience. It's a reminder that I'm not perfect. There's room for improvement. I guess. I don't know. It is, It is a, I'm always interested in, you know, different people's thought on prayer. And, you know, one of the biggest challenges with prayer is that if you do pray, that means that you believe in God, I guess, right? Or that you're religious. And I don't even think that that's even the case, right? You know, I wanted to read something real quick because I kind of got it. I thought was interesting. Let me read it here. It says, "Thy will, not mine, be done. It at these points our emotional disturbances happen to be great. We will more surely keep our balance, provided we remember, with repeat to ourselves, a particular prayer or phrase that has appealed to us in our reading of meditation. Just saying it over and over will often enable us to clear a channel choked up with anger, fear, frustration, and misunderstanding, and permit us to return to the sun rest, surest help of all. I'm sorry, this book is so small, I got no light. But it's, you know, I thought it was interesting because that, you know, that's what I do. Dear Lord, my soul's not big enough. I'm turning this over to you. Dear Lord. And I say that to people. I said, if you're really struggling, say it over and over. Grind that channel to the Lord. Get, you know, get that direct line to where it needs to go. But it says the channel choked up with anger, which is self, right? Fear, which is self. Frustration, which is self. And misunderstanding, which is more self. So the only, what it's saying to me is that that channel gets fucking clogged up with self-centered bullshit. Say it out loud. Say it in front of somebody. Grind it through. Make that, open up that channel. All right, let me read a little bit and then I got to go. I don't know here. It's just my thoughts. You do what you want. Hope everyone's having a, hanging in there though. Sobriety is fun. God, fucking, what's up with all the people dying? Oh, my God, the actor and snorting coke with the fentanyl. Damn. And those three comedians that died and the girl that was, she was in critical condition. I mean, I don't know. All right, here we go. September the 7th. Our side of the street. Oh, I love that. Here we go. We are there to sweep off our side of the street. Realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so. Never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 77, 78. I made amends to my dad soon after I quit drinking. My words fell on deaf ears since I had blamed him for my troubles. Several months later, I made amends to my dad again. This time I wrote a letter in which I did not blame him nor mention his faults. It worked, and at last I understood. My side of the street is all that I'm reasonable or responsible for, and thank God and AA it's clean for today. Yeah, that is. That's like step 10, you know. Recognize my part. Don't be a victim of it. And move on. Clean that shit up and move on. I hope everyone has a great day. We'll catch you later. Bye.